It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today as we're looking to the Word of God, and we're in Genesis chapter 28. And so as you're looking that up, Genesis chapter 28, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. And if you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43. Again, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to find us on the website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to find your place, that we can begin the study today. And again, we're looking at Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Now, if you'll begin with me, and please follow along. Genesis chapter 28, verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt take a wife of the daughter of, not take a wife of the daughter of the Canaanites. And arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee a blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Assyrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he made Meleleth, the daughters of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Almighty God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to of thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and he knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob arose up early in the morning, and took the stones that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give me and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And if all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Let's begin with prayer after we've enjoyed the reading of God's word today. Please, dear Father, that you will guide and lead us and give us your strength, give us your will as we begin this study. It's such a joy, Lord, to look and enjoy your precious word. Now, please, Lord, guide and lead us that we may know the truth, that we'll know your way and will for our lives. It's so important, Lord, that each day that we walk clearly, Lord, that we walk the way you want us to walk. Father, we have an example here of this young man named Jacob, and the trickery, the things that he thought he had to do to get what was actually rightfully his, and Rebekah was as much a part of that too. Please, Lord, show us that if we trust in you and if we walk with you, that you will give us wisdom and strength that we need. We do not need to connive and work around to get what we think is proper to us and everything, Lord. We just need to walk with you. We need, first of all, to come to you as our Savior. This place that Jacob calls a dreadful place, I think that when you come into a house of God that has the power, your power upon it, Lord, many people will come and not like it. They'll feel it as a dreadful place because they don't care for that convicting power. And you see, if you're a lost sinner, you should not be comfortable in a place where your presence is, Lord. And hopefully they do not run from it, but they understand and realize they're lost, dying in their sin, and they need to come to you. Please, Lord, I ask that everyone that's listening today will be down on their knees and ask you to come into their hearts and save them. It's something that you don't do every week. You don't do it every day. It's something you do once, just one time. You need to face your sin, because Jesus Christ will come to live within your heart and forever be there. Please, Lord, touch every heart today. I thank you for this sweet, precious time you've given us. Now, please, guide and lead us as we study your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jacob. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of the Canaanites. Arise and go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother." Now, as we read those first two verses again, and we need to back up just a little bit, because what's happened here? Why is all of a sudden Jacob leaving? Well, the reason he's leaving is because Esau's mad, and Esau wants to kill Jacob. And so Rebekah, once again, instead of falling on her face before the Lord and say, "God, please, I have done a terrible thing here, and I've involved Jacob in it too. Please, Lord, will you help us to straighten this up?" And instead of that, she just adds to another lie, and she goes to Isaac, and she says, "Isaac, you know, Jacob cannot take a wife from this land. He needs to go back home and get a wife from my family." And so she goes to Isaac and asks him to do that. And the whole point is that she's afraid that that Esau is going to find Jacob, and Esau is going to kill Jacob, and then Esau is going to be killed because he killed Jacob, and then she has nobody. And so all of a sudden, everything is really falling apart fast, and so the only thing she knows to do is get Jacob out of town. And so she's going to get Jacob out of town here by, once again, it's a truth. It's what needs to happen. But she's really lying to Isaac, because it's not that she's all that concerned right now about the wife of Jacob. She wasn't concerned a few days ago, but all of a sudden she is very concerned of what's going to take place and what's going to happen here. And so she turns around and she asks Isaac, and Isaac then brings Jacob in, and he once again blessed him and charged him that you do not take a wife of this land. You go back home to your mother's father and get a wife from there. And so that seems like everything is underway now. Let's just back up again just a little bit to see what's all happened here. Remember the trick. Rebecca and Jacob, they overheard a conversation between Isaac and Esau. And Isaac said to Esau, "You go get me the venison from the out in the land and prepare it and bring it in to me, and I will bless you. I will give you my blessing." Well, Rebecca heard that. She hurried up and got Jacob involved, and they put on a disguise upon Jacob so that Jacob could seem to be by touch, because remember, Isaac is blind. And so smell and touch was good enough, even though he didn't sound like Esau, but that's good enough for them. And so they continued, and with the help of Rebecca and Jacob now, why, they fooled Isaac, and Jacob got the blessing that that Isaac was going to give unto Esau. Now, again, none of this had to happen, because God had already put it in place that it went from Abraham, not to Ishmael, but to Isaac, and then from Abraham to Isaac, then not to Esau, but to Jacob. Now, they did not have to connive to get this accomplished. They did not have to deceive anyone to do this, because God had already put that into place. But you see, we get in there and we get involved and we think, okay, we have to do something. Well, also, God did not want Jacob to take of a wife of the land of Canaan. That's for sure. There's no question about that. He needed to go back home, back to the to Rebecca's folks, and get a wife. Well, that's fine, except for she didn't once again need to lie again to accomplish that. And so that's kind of where we're at here in the 28th verse. And so if you or 28th chapter, and if you'd start just with the first verse there and read that, you'd think, you know, hey, that's a great thing that Rebecca's doing here, because she's just setting this up and it's being done properly. Well, there's an awful lot behind it, isn't there? And most of it is the tricks and deceiving and all the things that they think they're trying to do to accomplish this. And all the time, it's just simply God's plan. Well, it's too bad, because by all this, God's will is accomplished. But Rebecca sure doesn't receive a blessing for doing this. Jacob fears for his life, gets run out of his own home, the last minute, in the middle of the night, so to speak. And all that is done in fear, and in trying to get what they think they need, instead of just saying, "Lord, please do it, and I'll watch you, and I'll bless you, and Father, I'll give you all the glory for it." Instead of that, why, we got this mess, and it's too bad. Well, we find here in the second verse that they're going to go back to Laban's, Rebekah's brother's place, to the daughter of Laban, thy mother's brother. And now we come to verse 3, and the Almighty God bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Now all this is given, and Isaac sends him away, and sends Jacob away. And he went to Padan-Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. Now, it's all Everything now is accomplished, but the sad thing is that none of this had to be done in such a manner. It could have just, Lord, please, you work this out, and I will praise you for it. And instead of that, boy, they just connived and worked and did this and that and missed all the blessings of it. And it turned out that they were afraid and fearful for their lives and everything else for what had happened. And also, Rebecca thought she was going to lose both of her sons. And she really did, because Esau wanted nothing to do with Rebecca because of what she had done with Jacob. And Jacob's gone. And so now what does Rebecca have? Does Jacob ever get to see Rebecca again, his mother? You remember they're very, very close. What's happened here? It's pretty high cost, isn't it? And so now, again, we've read the last of the blessing of Isaac unto Jacob, and we seem like that Jacob's on his way to the land of Syria, and that's what God calls it here, and all the way back to what we'd call it with Abraham, the land of Ur of Chaldees, up in and down in that part of the area, and got to go up north, and then turn back to the east and south to get to where he's going there. And then we find verse 6, and when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan-Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of the Canaanites. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padan-Aram. And so Esau knew that Jacob had hit the road, and he was gone. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Now we're going to stop back up here just a little bit and look at the 8th and 9th verse here. Esau found back in the 6th verse even that Isaac had definitely received the blessing from Jacob, Isaac. Isaac had given to Jacob the blessing. Esau recognized that. And he recognized that Jacob had left and was going to go marry of the family of Rebekah, from his mother's family. Saw that. Well, Esau decided he needed to do something, and so he thought he could please his mother and father, maybe, I guess, because Ishmael, now, is that Isaac's son? No, it's not. It's Abraham's son. And so Esau finds Ishmael. Now, I thought we kind of talked about that Ishmael, really wasn't much mention of Ishmael again. Well, only as it crosses the path here of something with Jacob. And so just very quickly here, we find what Esau is doing, and we'll find very soon that we don't have much mention of Esau either, because Esau is a very ungodly man, Ishmael a very ungodly man, and so when you find that these two now team up, do they think it's going to please Isaac, please Rebecca for what he's doing? I have no idea, but it one ungodly person to join up with a second ungodly person sure doesn't make for anything good. And then we find here that Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Now again, Jacob is sent back home. And what the problem is that there is no believers, there is no godly people, those that have trusted in Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord Jesus, in the land. And you see, we should never marry. If a person is saved, born again, knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They have recognized by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that they're a sinner and they're lost and that they need a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, and realize that they come to Him not by works by any means, but by faith and faith alone. If they do that, it is wonderful that they can come and have their sins forgiven and begin this wonderful walk of life. Well, that's fine. You've come by faith to Jesus Christ. Now, you're a young man, and you're not married, and you need a spouse. You need a companion. You need a partner. And so you set out to find this partner. And you find this beautiful lady, and she seems nice and kind and everything, but she's not a believer. And you think, well, that's okay, because when we get married, I'll show her the right direction. She'll be able to see the Lord Jesus, and she'll come, and be saved. Well, to begin with, if they're not saved before you marry them, chances are they're not going to be saved after you've married them. And dear lady, young lady, you can do the same thing the other way. If you're saved and you decide to marry someone that's not saved, don't think you're going to have any more influence after you're married than you got before you're married, because you don't. Do not be unequally yoked. Find a believer. And do not marry an unbeliever. If you want heartache and you want problems and you want trouble, you just marry an unbeliever, because that's the first thing that's going to bring great pain to you, to your family. And it doesn't just end just with you. It says, well, that's my own decision. I can do what I want to do. Yes, you can. But I'll tell you what, you're bringing heartache to yourself, and it's going to last all of your life, and not just your life, but for generations to come, by such a mistake. And so please, now most people, they don't even claim to understand at all the process of being saved. They don't believe it takes a personal decision to come to Jesus Christ. They do not understand when we speak of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't understand any of that. Well, it's because they're so far away from the Word of God. Please, that you recognize the need. Jacob was saved. Jacob was a believer in Jesus Christ. Isaac was saved. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. Abraham was saved. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. Sarah, Abraham's wife, was saved. She was a believer in Jesus Christ. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was saved, was a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, Jacob, we need to get him home to find one that is, again, a believer in God, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the coming of the Messiah. Jacob's got to find her, because, you see, he can't go to marry someone of the world. And that's what you do if you marry an unbeliever. And so what did Esau do? Esau married unbelievers. Well, they weren't unequally yoked, because Esau wasn't a believer either. And we find with Ishmael, Ishmael was not a believer. So for him to marry unbelievers, they're not unequally yoked, because they're all lost. But what happens is that when this happened even before the flood, I believe that those that were believers, those that were of Cain and Abel, and then Seth to come on to the picture after that, the descendants of them, Abel and of Seth, I think at a point in time they begin to marry in to the family of Cain. Believers marrying unbelievers. And things got so wicked so fast that God had to destroy the world by a flood. And he only brought one family through it, Noah and his family. And that's all he allowed to live. Everything had gotten so far away. And it started when the believer moved and began to marry an unbeliever, because the next generation was unbelievers. You see, one believer and one unbeliever doesn't make another believer. You got a believer and a believer, and they give birth to a child. They don't automatically come to be a believer, but they are united, they're together, they're both telling of the gospel of Christ, and the chance of that child to be a believer is very strong because of the influence of their parents, because they're not divided. Please don't have a divided family here. I hope I haven't spent too much time talking about that. We got Jacob on the run here, and he isn't, because he's such a godly man, that he's going home to get his bride. It's not that at all. It's not that Rebecca really thought a lot about it. It's that she had to get Jacob out of town before Esau could catch him and kill him. And so what a mess. What a mess. And this is even in believers' families. Abraham and Sarah ended up with Ishmael. Isaac and Rebecca, one sided with one sided with the other, with the children, Esau and Jacob. And it was trouble. Instead of Isaac and Rebecca being together, seeking the Lord's will, knowing the promise was going to come through Jacob, instead of that, they begin to do as the world does, their own thing. But God's hand's upon it. And even though they have messed up several times, as we mess up several times, the plan still continues. And Jacob is going to make it back home to bring his bride home. And so now we have him on the run, and we have this situation with Esau that we've read about in verse 9. We find Jacob here went up out of Beersheba and went towards Haran. And so he begins his trip. He lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night. Now, he was south of town, south of Jerusalem, what is known as Jerusalem. He was south of there to begin with. And now he's traveled, approximately 10 miles, I think, above there. And so, 30, 40 miles that he traveled in one day? That's pretty good distance. I don't think I could do that on foot. You think that Jacob was kind of in a hurry to get out of town? We're not sure, but he found this place, come to this place, and he was tired. It was dark. It was night. He was alone, and he had to leave his family, you see. And had he ever been away from his mother? Probably not. You know, Jacob was not a young man here, wasn't a child by any means, but he probably the first time he had ever been away from, and especially his mother more than his father, because, you know, they were very close. Isaac and Esau was close, and Rebekah and Jacob were close. And so all of a sudden here, he had to get out of town fast, and so he didn't bring a lot of provisions with him, it doesn't seem like. And so he lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and he laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Oh, we've received that promise with Abraham. Now we received that promise with Isaac, and now that promise is handed unto Jacob, as was to be. None of that trickery had to take place. None of that deception had to be. Didn't have to be. But here it comes. And verse 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob waked out of his sleep, and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and called the name of that place Bethel. That's not the first time we've been there, is it? But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now, we're going to take some time the next time we're together to look at this, because there is much to talk about here with the ladder and what's taken place. And so the next time we come together, well, we're going to back up to about the 11th verse and begin there. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, which he had to go up north and then come back down south as he went off to the east. And so as we look at that, but you've got to see that it is very important that Jacob does not take a wife of the land. We see what Esau did. It didn't matter to him at all. And so that has taken place. But it's very important that we understand that God's will be done. It is a personal decision of what you do with Jesus Christ. A personal decision. Please, today, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?